And verse number one, we're going to read through verse number seven. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Now, that doesn't sound very good. The first part, first couple of verses, he's praying to the Lord. You get that in verse number 1 and 2, give ear to my prayer, and he's sitting there and he's saying, please listen to me, please hear me, I'm mourning in my complaint, I'm making a noise. Excuse me. Verse number 3, why? Why is this happening? Because of the voice of the enemy. And he goes through there and he starts to describe this voice and this person or perhaps these people that are giving him all kinds of trouble in his life. Then he talks about in verse number 4, my heart is sore pained, he's got all kinds of fear and all kinds of pain going on in the inside. Look, how do I know there's a God? Because so much of life is made up of stuff we can't see. So much of life is made up of that pain that's on the inside. People talking about you, the voice of the enemy, something going on out there. You with me? That's painful. What people say does hurt. It does affect my life. And David's voicing this to the Lord. He's praying to the Lord about this. Fearfulness, it causes fear. It causes trembling, verse 5. Horror hath overwhelmed me. It's overwhelming. He's scared. People are talking about him. And it goes on to say later in the verses that it's a friend that he used to have, and this friend has turned his back on him. And then it says in verse number 6, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. And that word Selah means to think about those things. Verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove. He's not talking about, I just want to escape this. I don't want a vacation. He's not trying to say, I want a vacation from this situation, or I don't want to zone out from this situation for a little bit. He's saying, I want to completely fly away from this situation and totally be in a whole nother place and go live somewhere else. Like a bird just has the freedom, if something scares them, to just fly off and go somewhere else. He says, I wish I could do that right now. You ever been there? Now, sometimes it's something small, sometimes it's something big. But we're going to get into the message. And the title of the message is this, and it's taken from verse number 3. It says, because of the voice of the enemy, but we're just going to cut that down a little bit and talk about the voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy. We'll ask the Lord to bless, and then we'll continue on with the message. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in church. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us and has given us everlasting life. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that's not sure that they're saved, I pray that you would spark something inside of them, draw them to yourself, make them curious, even if they're scared. I pray that you would work in their heart to seek it out. I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray, Lord, for those of us who are saved, who are battling the voice of the enemy in our own life, I pray that you would give us grace and help us to learn some truth today that would help us in these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to take our Bibles. We're going to go to Hebrews 10 and verse number 38. We're going to, in the first part of the message, we're going to turn in our Bibles just a little bit. And if you choose not to and just want to listen to the verses as I read them, that's completely fine. But I'll give you just a moment or two to turn there if you'd like. Hebrews, we're going to Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 38. The voice of the enemy. The voice of the enemy. David is the one who wrote this psalm in Psalm 55. He had a son named Absalom who took the kingdom from him. David was the king. He was the king of Israel. And it took him quite a few years to get to the point where he was actually completely completely king over all of Israel. He was anointed as a young man, as a teenager, but it took him up to 30 years before he was finally in the position where everybody looked at him as the king. And through a series of sins on his own part, his son turned against him. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all of those details, but he had made mistakes on his own. And his son, in effect, had turned against him and done something to hurt him. His son, it's debatable, was trying to make restitution with his dad, but they were never completely on the same page after that. And his son Absalom eventually started speaking to all of the men in the kingdom of Israel and would advise them behind his father's back and eventually turn the hearts of the entire kingdom away from his father until it basically came to a culmination where Absalom basically took the kingdom over, and he was sitting in the throne, and David, the father, was now leaving. There was a man who was David's most trusted advisor, and his name was Ahithophel. And Ahithophel, the Bible says, was almost like an oracle of God. He was looked at as if everything that he said was absolute golden wisdom. And David trusted him very much. But when his son took the kingdom over, Ahithophel did not remain loyal to David. And instead, he turned over to the dark side, if you will, and he said, I'm going to stay with Absalom, the son, and I'm going to stay with him. This is the situation where Psalm 55 was born out of, and it's believed that when he's talking about the voice of the enemy, and it talks about later in the psalm, he was talking about this man that he trusted at one point with his very life and with his very kingdom, and now he'd become the voice of the enemy. It says in Hebrews chapter number 10, and verse number 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The first part of that verse is mentioned several times in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You see, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, God calls you to order your life differently and to make your decisions differently than those who are not saved. He wants you to begin to live by faith. He wants you to begin to order your life by faith. There is a difference between ordering your life by faith and ordering your life by sight. When we make decisions by sight, it's something that we perceive. It's based on our wisdom. It's things that we can look at. It's things that we can Google. It's things that we can research. And that is how most of the world makes decisions in their life. They do it by sight. But when God saves us, he starts to work in our hearts through the Word of God, and he wants us to walk by faith. That means we begin to make decisions based on the Word of God and not the way that we feel or the way that we perceive. Many times, walking by faith makes us pretty uncomfortable. Right. And it makes those around us uncomfortable. Amen. Let's go to Romans. Chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 17, very familiar verse to those of us who have been in church any length of time. God wants us to live by faith. He wants us to live our lives based on God's word. He wants us, faith is kind of a weird thing in the sense where God's working in our heart to do something because God's word says it and the Holy Spirit's working in our heart to do it. And other people around us may say, that's not a good decision right there. It's not something we plan to do in the sense of when I was a little boy, I didn't say, I'm going to be a missionary to Nepal and then I'm going to go to Canada. And this, here's how I'm going to do it. Right? A counselor didn't sit me down and say, yeah, this is what you're most apt to do in life is to be a missionary. You understand? Faith is something where it's written in God's word and God's spirit works in our hearts and he leads us to do it. He helps us to grow into that. And we start taking steps. And we start taking steps. And it's not something that we see. It's something that God works in our heart to do. Amen. You with me so far? Okay. By the way, that's how you get saved. Be careful. Google. And why do I keep talking about Google? Because that's what our generation does. We Google it first. Who is Brother Corey McTague? enter. Don't do that. You don't want to know. No, I'm just kidding. The Christian goes to God's word first. That's different. You Google changes all the time. God's word never changes. That's a blessing. That's a big blessing. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Number one, we're called to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If you're a saved person in here today, God expects of you to make decisions based by faith. That's how we originally trusted Christ as our Savior. We heard the word of God. God worked in our heart. As a seed goes into the ground, the word of God came in through our ears and into our heart. And we have a choice to make with that, with the word of God. We have a choice to either accept it and then in turn to the biblical word is repentance, where we turn away from that which we used to trust in. It's a turning away. And then now we are fully trusting on God and God alone and on the shed blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation. The word of God does that inside of somebody. As you hear the word of God, it pushes you to do that. But we have a choice to make. We can say no, and I'm going to refuse that. Or you can say yes, and you can let that happen, and you can go ahead and trust the Lord. The same thing's true with walking by faith. If you are coming to church on a regular basis, and you're reading your Bible by a regular basis, God is going to work in you, and your life is going to change. It's going to happen. And if you refuse to let it happen, you are going to be a very miserable person. There's no one more miserable than a saved person who refuses to let God work in their life. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And there are way too many Christians in this world today that are frustrating God's work. They take the grace of God, that grace, God's working in our heart, and we just lay it aside, we put it aside, and we don't let him do what he wants to do in our life. We're called to live by faith. Faith comes from God's word, Romans 10 and verse number 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It comes from God's word. The source of our faith is God's word. It's not in our awesomeness of being a Christian. It's not in my years of experience. It's not based on how many answers to prayer I've had in the past. My source of living by faith and pleasing God is God's word. Amen. But look how it's worded. Verse 17, let's look at it one more time. So then faith cometh by, say it with me, church. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God comes, we hear it, and then we have a choice because it's in our heart. Now we'll go to another verse, Ephesians chapter number 6. I'm laying a foundation, and then we'll get into the message. And the message is fairly simple. It's fairly quick. But without the foundation, there is no application, and it won't make any sense, and it certainly won't help you in your Christian walk. Ephesians chapter number 6. And verse number 10, finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, he's talking to saved people here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Pause. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's hard. When that person cuts you off on the highway. Yeah? When that person in your family is doing something. Let's finish the verse and then we'll give a few scriptural examples. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So he's talking about the spirit world here. He's talking about Satan and the demons that work for Satan. That is where our opposition lies for the Christian. If God is calling us to walk by faith, Satan is trying to stop us from walking by faith. He wants us to walk by feel. The Bible calls it walking by sight. Amen. How do we walk by faith? By God's word. But how does that happen? By hearing it. Hearing it in our heart, hearing it with our ears as it's preached, hearing it in our heart as we read it. It doesn't have to necessarily be out loud, but we hear it because it's a coach. Can we think of it that way? It's constantly telling us and pushing us and strengthening us and helping us. And God's word, as you listen to it, it's going somewhere. It's going to take you somewhere. It's going to make you do things. It's going to help you do things. Hey, it's going to change you. Amen. It's going to change you. It will change you. And it's all good. It's all God's plan. But it's going to be different than everybody else. And the enemy has a plan for you. And the enemy is who? The enemy is Satan. Let's go back to the very beginning in Genesis. There was a voice. They got Eve to sin and then Adam to sin. Where was that voice belonged to who? Belonged to Satan. Right? It was in a serpent. I know that's kind of weird, but think about it for a minute. It's a little different. I'm just being honest with you. I mean, I've never had a snake talk to me, have you? But obviously it was a different time before the fall of man. Okay. Now let's think about Job, a righteous man. We know the story of Job, righteous man. God allows all of these horrible things to happen in his life, all of his children. He had multitudes of children. All of his children were killed. All of his wealth was stolen and taken. Many of his servants were killed. His house was hit with a whirlwind. He basically became, I was driving on the freeway. Do you guys call it a freeway? Do we call it a freeway in Canada? What do we call it? Highway. Highway? Highway. Okay. I was driving on the highway coming here, and this guy, man, doesn't it make you mad when you see a really expensive sports car that's going slow? This guy was driving a Ferrari, a red one, and he's like, in like the middle lane. And you know what his license plate said, his tag? It said, got da power. Got da power. And I'm passing him in a Volvo. And I'm looking at him like, where was I going with that illustration? Oh, guys like that, rich. I mean, Job was rich. He was very wealthy. And in one day, he lost everything. Except his wife. Now, most men would consider that a blessing. And I'm sure he did too. But she came up to him, and what'd she say? Help me. What'd he say to her? Curse God and die! Oh, that's encouraging. That's a blessing. That's exactly what anyone needs to hear when they're going through the worst trial of their entire life. But as we know from the story, because that's one of the few stories where the Bible goes behind the scenes and tells us what's really going on. Who was behind her saying that? Satan was. Jesus is about to go die on the cross. And he's telling his disciples about how he's going to go die on the cross. And who starts arguing with him about it? And saying, no, Lord! And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm glad Jesus hasn't ever said that to my face. Wow. But can I tell you something? Let's go back to Psalm 55 and we'll finish up. The voice of the enemy could be your mom. It could be a Christian, a good Christian. Peter was a good Christian. He'd left all and followed the Lord. He'd had miracles done by his own hand. He was one of the 12. An incredible preacher. He'd done amazing things. He was one of the top three. Peter, James, and John. They was all, and he was number one. I mean, really, he was the first one named. Job, an incredible man with a fantastic wife, you would think. Eve, goodness, the first lady ever made. But each one of them. You see, Satan's not going to come to your bedroom. And he's not going to, right? don't live by faith, do this. That's my best impression of Satan. There's going to be a little something in the back of your head. And there may be somebody's name attached to it. Well, nobody thinks this is cool, so I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but that's what God wants you to do. Well, the news says this. What an agenda the news has, oh my word. You know what the agenda is? And I'm not going to pretend like I understand the politics in Canada. I don't understand them in the States. So if you got something bad to say against Trump, about Trump, go ahead. I don't care. But you know what it's telling? Live by sight. That's what it's saying. It's not saying live by faith. Go to church. Read your Bible. Go pray. That's not what it's saying. It's saying live by sight. We need to read one more verse before we get to the points. Because the points are quick. And you can jot them down. Let's go to 2 Timothy. You need to see this verse, please. If you have your Bible, turn to this one. 2 Timothy 1. Oh, man. This verse right here. You need to memorize this verse if you haven't already. This is something you need to use your wife's lipstick and write on the mirror in the bathroom. Don't do that. That's kind of weird. But I'm just saying, memorize it. Put it in places. Remind yourself often of this verse. 2 Timothy, I don't know why I said that. 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 7. Look at it. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But of power and of love and of a sound. What compensation? A sound mind. A mind that's not rattled. Love. You see, because fear steals all of those things. You can't look at that person who's being used by Satan. I mean, when Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," I believe it was a heart of compassion and a heart of love and with a spirit of power and a spirit of love and of a spirit of a sound mind. Hey, God makes you not crazy. He does. And Satan wants you to run around absolutely terrified of everything. Yes, he does. And he has a lot of people he can use for that. Live by sight. Live by fear. Aren't you scared? Ah! That's the message of the world. Hey, that is the voice of the enemy. We can read it in Psalm 55 where David talks about how he is terrified, and he's got horrors. The spirit of fear will stop you from doing God's will in your life. It will stop you from witnessing to that person. They're going to hit me. They're going to cuss me out. How do you know? Whose voice is that again? What is that? Hey, how do you know if it's God's voice or if it's Satan's voice? What is it creating in you? Fear? Oh, that's good right there. That's just good stuff. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't care how long you've been saved, there are voices that cause us to live in fear. But the voice of God does not do that. The word of God does not do that. Perfect love casteth out fear. And God is love. Man, that's good. I want to live my life that way. Not tormented by the voice of the enemy. Psalm 55, and we'll be done. I've got four quick points. They don't need accompanying verses because the verses are right here in Psalm 55. And let me just throw this in. If you're in here today and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not a Christian, you don't identify yourself as a follower of Jesus Christ, how do you handle your fear? How do you handle the knowledge that you're going to die one day? You can't keep pushing that into a corner in your mind and just choose not to think about it. Because you've got the tick of eternity in your heart just like everybody else. And no amount of knowledge, and no amount of religion, and no amount of denial is going to make that go away. Jesus conquered sin and death and hell for you. Amen. For you. He conquered your fear for you. His love did that for us. And when we accept him, we get an opportunity to live our life. That's why we're so weird to unbelievers. As it says that in Philippians. Is because we don't run to the same excess of riot. And they think it's strange. They think it's strange that we don't live in the same manner of fear that they do. Fear free. Wow, what a life. What a life. What a glorious, glorious life. What did David do? By inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it says in verse number 16. Point number one is, it says in verse 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. See the confidence? Do you have that confidence when it comes to your fear? When it comes to the voice of the enemy in your life? The Lord's going to save me. Hey, he's got it. The Lord's going to save me. The Lord will save me. He shall save me. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Number one, because of the voice of the enemy, God will hear my voice. Let the voice of the enemy prompt your voice to be heard by God. Voice, voice. Voice, voice. Is it creating fear in me? Whose voice is that? Don't hate that person. Treat them with love and compassion and in a Christ-like manner. But God's not given us the spirit of fear. How do I respond to that? When I hear the voice, just echo it right back to the Lord. This whole psalm is, God, this is what's happening to me. And look at it. It ends on a positive note. I want my life to be like that. Amen. I want to end on a positive note. Hey, I want my every day to end on a positive note. I want to wake up every morning with hope. With hope. Because of the voice of the enemy, God will hear my voice. Verse number two. Remember past victories and those affected by it. Verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. He not only remembers the victories that God gave him in the past, but he remembers who else God saved in those victories. I remember God helped that person. I remember when God helped that person. That's why it's so important for you to come to church, because occasionally every church starts giving testimonies of how the Lord had helped them throughout the week or helped them in this trial and that trial. And that helps my faith. That helps me with the voice of the enemy that I'm dealing with at this moment. Remember past victories. Number three, remember ultimately their problem is with God. Verse 19, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Remember, their problem is with God. Their problem's not with you. Their problem is with him. Verse number four, lastly. Look at verse 22. And I would suggest you memorize this verse as well, or keep it handy. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I want to make two quick points and I'll be done. When you look up the words in this verse, in the original languages, the word burden means your lot, as in your lot in life. And it also means that which is given to you by providence. God's allowing this to happen to you. God's allowing that voice. And the last thing is this. He shall sustain thee. We talk about sustainability in our world. in various ways. And that's a good thing. Are you ever afraid that you're not going to be able to maintain your Christian walk the way it ought to be maintained? I'm afraid of that. That I'm never going to be what I need to be. That I can't keep up this good thing for very long. That fear, that voice needs to turn us around to the Lord and trust Him to sustain us. He will sustain you. Everybody bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. The voice of the enemy.